This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
I weigh the water, I feel it all. I ask myself a million questions in the dark. I lay in silence, but silence talks. It tells me heaven is no closer than it was. My heart keeps pulling in the wrong direction. I'm about to cross that.
Yes, you do.
Guess who this could be?
Well, hello, Lizzie. It's Jason Gardner.
The one and only Jason Gardner, my most special friend, and he's here with me to do the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and thank you, FUBAR Radio, for asking me to fill in.
Well, I couldn't have asked for anyone better to fill in, to be honest. Well, you actually can see this on the video, because it's going on our Twitter feed.
Hi.
Jason, you're looking so hot and summery, fit. They've brought me donuts.
I have, yeah.
Is this a late birthday?
It is a little bit, but also it's because I've been starving as I've trekked across Costa Rica for the past, few weeks. And that was amazing.
I mean, because you're so tanned, I mean, you look incredible. And you look incredibly fit. Now, tell us about that. What were you doing?
You know, it was. It's always been a place on my bucket list that I wanted to go to, and I sort of figured, well, why wait till I'm, you know, too old to do it? And it is an incredible place because of its biodiversity. There is no other country on the planet with this amount of biodiversity. And I was really intrigued to see how, you know, how the Costa Ricans have maintained their biodiversity and how, for me, and the way that they project themselves to the rest of the world, it's like it's the only country that has got it together, you know, has found the harmony until I got there.
Uh-oh. What happened, Jason? Tell us.
You know, on my travels, and I literally, I mean, it was part road trip, part trek. And so we drove, you know, we got in the car. We didn't even have an agenda. I went with my best mate, Reno, from South Africa, because he's a bit, you know, he's a bit adventurous as well. It's very hard to find people who don't want to stay in 5-star luxury hotels and have everything planned.
You're staring at me when you say that. You see, yeah. I wouldn't mind going camping as long as I had room service, you see.
Yeah, okay. Well, we probably won't travel together then on these kind of trips. But what was great was, you know, we just got in the car and we went and met locals. And I love doing that because I think, you know, you've got your guidebooks and all that kind of stuff and you can get information off the internet. But there's nothing better than to sit down with locals, you know, either in a restaurant or a bar or wherever you meet locals, you know, meet them everywhere. And you get the information from them. And literally, it was down to locals recommending where we should go. Don't do that because it's really touristy. You want to go here. And a lot of the places that the locals go to are off the beaten track. And therefore, it is...
Isn't it beautiful?
It's beautiful, but it's sometimes treacherous to get to. What I will say is...
Did you have a Jeep? Did you hike it?
We had a four-wheel drive, you know, because you need one so that you can go across... And also because what was really frightening was the lack of infrastructure for roads.
Wow.
And this is the dichotomy that Costa Rica lives in, is that basically in order for them to have this incredible burgeoning biodiversity like nowhere else on Earth. You've got to remember, this is where Jurassic Park was filmed.
Wow,
you know.
I didn't know that.
Well, because it looks prehistoric, you know. It's incredible. Like, honestly, everywhere you look, there is flora and fauna, and it is the majority. You are little in comparison to what is going on. You do feel like you are in their environment rather than, oh, we live in cities, and maybe if you walk to a park, you'll see a tree and a squirrel.
And a squirrel.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, you've got frogs literally everywhere. Okay, there are spiders, but, you know, it's a healthy thing. You know what I mean? You don't feel like, oh, my God, things are going to attack us. I had a bat that was sleeping outside our little accommodation porch. No, he was great. We named him Mountbatten.
Mountbatten, I love that. I love that.
And he just, you know, but the great thing is, they're the best insect repellents. You know, we didn't have any mozzies. We didn't have any spiders or any flies in our digs where we were staying because of Mountbatten.
I feel there's a show coming on for you.
Do you?
The Jungle. You could cope with anything.
I would never do that show.
I love your face.
You've heard that on FUBAR.
You've heard that.
Why never do that show.
Why would you not do I'm a Celeb? Why wouldn't you do The Jungle? Just out of interest.
Well, because, I take shows because of two reasons. Will I watch it? Do I watch it? No. And what will I get out of it other than financial?
Oh.
And so I've got to get something out of it. It's got to be something
authentic that you feel.
Yeah, and that's why I agreed to do Mission Survive with Bear Grylls.
Oh!
And that was incredible.
Jason, can I tell you, that was so good. You were so brilliant on that. Remind us who you were with that on that show. You had quite a few characters.
I
remember one incident. I think it was with Michelle Collins.
Michelle Collins.
With the plank, trying to find the words.
No, we had to build this raft to cross a river that would potentially, you know, be filled with crocodiles. And Bless her. I mean, we were all at our wit's end. You know, you're starving, you're tired, and, you know, they give you, they push you beyond your physical and mental capacities. Because basically, we were on a slightly watered down SAS expedition. So, you know, it was full on. And so for a lot of us, you know, the challenges and the pressures were real, very, very real. And sleep deprivation and lack of food, you start going stir crazy.
But you were incredible. Let me tell you how you managed and how you coped. And you were so calm where I just don't know how you did it.
Neither do I, Lizzie, because, you know, when I went into that, I still suffered very badly with certain OCDs. And, you know, and I know we're going to be talking about mental health a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, it's a very real thing, and it does impact your life. And now I went into Bear Grylls. I've had, you know, therapy and all that kind of stuff, and I had to change my life quite a bit. But I won't bore listeners now with all that. But suffice to say, I get in there and they give us a basic survival kit, and we get these gloves. So I thought, I'm fine, because my OCDs that I still can't seem to shake is with the hands. I can get the rest of me putridly dirty and I'm fine. You get my hands dirty and it's almost like I shut down. So Bear was, you know, sort of watching us all for 24 hours, and then he comes marching into camp on day two, and literally he comes right up to me and he says, right, get those gloves off. He said, you're hiding behind those gloves. And I was like, well, I'm not doing a very good job then, because you've just found me. But he said, no, he said, you've got to get into it, like all of it. And I was like, I don't understand what you mean. Am I not doing enough? I was like, I thought I could leave the gloves on. He's like, get those gloves off. And my heart sank.
Did he know of your condition?
Yeah, of course they do. You know, you have to reveal all these kinds of things to, you know, psychologists, you know, and I use that in inverted commas. But anyway, and so, you know, so that they know what you can and can't cope with. And then literally rip the gloves off me, and what does he do? He smears my hands and my face in elephant dung and mud.
No.
And I wasn't allowed, I swear to God, I was not allowed to wipe any of it off. I had to just
deal
with it.
That sounds like torture.
Well, for me it was. Whereas most people be like, ah, so what?
No, I wouldn't be too happy.
But I started
to... That's your worst nightmare.
Yeah, it was my worst nightmare. Played out in the middle of Africa. And we're like, oh my God, where are we going? And then I had to literally traverse a 250-foot drop on a rope by myself, carrying bags. I was the only one that had to go down by myself. Everybody went down in tandem, and I was smeared in all this stuff. But do you know what, Lizzie? What I will say about that experience is I did it. I overcame my fears. I overcame my phobias. I overcame my OCD. And in that situation, I defeated it.
Well, I tell you what, I take my hat off to you, Jason, because I know, obviously, because we're dear friends, how difficult this is for you. And I can't believe how you coped. I cannot believe it.
Well, it's all down to Bear Grylls and his amazing team, because they believed in me and they pushed me and they knew that I would be able to do this. I just had to change my perception, and it is about perception. And I know a lot of people that are probably listening that are probably scrubbing things or turning knobs and tapping things, you know, obsessively. Trust me, I was there. I was one of you, and I was able to overcome it. It takes work, but you can do it. And I'm so glad,
Jason,
I faced it.
Jason, you are incredible. You're making me want to cry. That's incredible, because I know how tough it was for you and how you overcome it. And let me tell you, you did so incredibly well.
Thank you, my love. Well, you did very well on
what, Shirley Valentine? Putting up with Nancy, Sven's Nancy D'Alio.
Oh, good God.
And you with Gemma Collins on Dancing on Ice. We won't mention her name. We're not mentioning her name today.
We've all had our fair share of challenges, haven't we, dear? We really have.
That was a challenge.
So what have you been up to then?
Well, darling, do you know what? Today I went to collect my first issued book, the first book that's been printed.
Where is it?
Actually, the photographer took it outside for a good old read.
What?
So I literally got the first book printed and they gave it to me and signed it, the publishers. It felt quite emotional, actually.
I bet it did.
And
I
the book is out on the 20th of May. I've got my party.
I can't wait on Monday.
Be at, but I just can't believe that, you know, it's hard writing a book because you go through so many emotions and it's mad how you think you're not going to remember things and you do.
So tell me, how did you write the book? Because and how long did it take? I'm always fascinated by this.
Well, I, would you believe, I quite like writing. And I actually sat on...
When do you get time, Lizzie?
Well, I made sure I had... It was pretty quick. I had 2 to 3 weeks off over Christmas period. And I, from the minute I woke to the time I went to bed, I just wrote.
You wrote a book?
I wrote a book. And I was
over Christmas.
With Bruno Tonioli and my boys.
Oh,
and there was
that's
a bit
when
after,
you go away, don't
but
you?
But I go away. I totally switch off.
Yeah.
And I wrote it. And every bit I write, I send then over to... I've got a wonderful editor who's from the publishing company. And he just kind of edits it and puts it in place. So, and, you know, I've got an array of great... photographs, celebrity stories, your dear self is featured in it. Very funny. I wish I could tell you what Jason said, but I don't think I can even...
But you'll have to buy the book and read it, because it's not fit for radio.
Exactly. But a lot of people put their own... you know, I've got my friends to write the book too, like yourself, and writing funny stories. And it's probably one of the funniest reads. And I know I am a funny character, but there's a bit of heartache. And, I think you see the real me.
Do we? Because I think that's what a lot of people don't. I know, because I know you. I know the real you. And I know what you've had to go through. And you're an amazing, remarkable woman. You know, despite all of that.
Yes.
You know, you're pretty much a single parent.
I am.
And you've raised two phenomenal boys, you know, and pretty much all on your own. And still managed to look, shall I say... absolutely drop dead gorgeous,
well,
smoking hot.
Jason, that's very kind, because I know you don't agree with some of my outfits, but we'll save that for the book. So listen, we've got amazing guests with us, Jason.
Yes.
Tristan Phipps, made in Chelsea.
Yes.
He's hot. You can
Is
love
he?
Him. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do you watch the show?
I'll be honest with you. I've never watched any of these reality types of shows.
You very kindly watch mine, I know. But it was actually factual. Do you know that? Shirley Valentine wasn't.
No, and I like the premise of your show. It was interesting and you were on it. And of course, I'm going to support everything you do.
Aww.
Because that's what friends are for.
That's it, and you're a great friend.
And you're a great friend. So,
And we've also, we're talking about being on a way on an island somewhere, shipwrecked. We've got Stacey Freeman, who's in as well. So we're going to ask what that show's quite something else.
Yes. And Stacey is a boy, just for those that didn't know, because I didn't. And I was thinking, oh, Stacey, a nice girl.
Yeah.
No, Stacey is actually a boy. So I'm looking forward to meeting both of our guests.
And I wonder whether Stacey will be wearing much clothes, because on that show they don't wear anything. You know.
Well,
that.
They're shipwrecked, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, little pair of Speedos. Anyway, let's have a track and then we'll get our guest in.
What's the sense in sharing this one and only life? Ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man. While he's busy loving every woman that he can. Just can't break up.
FUBAR Radio presents
Harriet Rose.
Will.i.am is joining us on FUBAR Radio right now.
There's things that I've done before that I didn't release, like a piece of content that I did with Miley Cyrus that was heavy, and we decided not to put it out.
What do you do with that kind of stuff? Do you hold it in a bank, like, I might put this out one day, or is it like, never again, put it away, we won't see this again?
For the Miley Cyrus one, we got rid of it. It was just too heavy.
Yeah. You just know, though, don't you? Because I think you just watch it and you think, this is...
This one in particular, the one that, the Black Eyed Peas one, I know in my heart that it has to come out.
Every Thursday,
Harriet Rose,
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Oh, sorry, we're eating donuts. Thank you, Jason. Care of you.
You're welcome.
They're all stuck in my teeth.
Oh, I wondered where that was going.
We have a very handsome guest that's come in the studio.
Exceptionally handsome guest.
Stop it. Buy me a drink first. Thank you. Thank you for having
Tristan
me.
Tristan Phipps. Now, star of Made in Chelsea. How did you get into the show in the first place?
It's an interesting story. So, ex-star of Made in Chelsea.
Ex-star,
no
yes.
No longer filming.
Why is that?
That is, so I found love. I found love.
And in a hopeless place?
In a hopeless place.
Yeah.
So I'm dating Laura and...
Laura
Crane.
From Love Island.
From Love Island. And that was, unfortunately, not in keeping with... They didn't want to film that. So I'm...
Oh.
I chose love. Conflict. I chose love.
Right, you chose love over...
You chose love. Wow, because I have to say that's very refreshing in this... Of the world of showbiz, because you're on a major big show that's so popular...
Yeah, I think it's important to stay true to yourself.
It is.
So that was an easy option for me, easy choice.
Wow, a young man with integrity in television.
It's very rare.
Very, very rare.
I don't think I've met one. I have today. Wow, that's incredible. So So you started the show when you were filming. Did you enjoy it? Because people have become big stars from this show.
No, it was great. I had an absolute blast filming Made in Chelsea. I did, season 17, did 6 months filming with them, had a great time. But as life progresses, you make decisions, and it's one that I stick by.
And so when you're not doing Made in Chelsea, what do you do, Tristan?
My passion. So I spent a lot of time in South Africa over the last few years. I lived there for 4 years.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Absolutely stunning. But I was born there, actually. So
where are you?
I kind of feel like South Africa's home for me.
Hence why you're so strapping.
He's a strapping lad. Whereabouts in South Africa?
I was born in Johannesburg, but I've been living and working up in the Northern Kruger. So I was a safari guide up there.
The national park it's breathtaking. If anybody has been there or hasn't been there, go.
Go. Go. It is amazing. It's so
incredible.
It's bigger than Wales, just for scale.
Yeah, I know.
It's just full of wild animals and full of beautiful things. And I was working up there for 4 years.
Oh, wow. Incredible. Now, then to go into television. So you've got Made in Chelsea. That's a big show. I mean, I know so many people that would love to be in it. And what was the crux? Did they find out about Laura and they say, right, you cannot be in the show if you're going to continue?
It's an interesting one. I'm not really sure the politics behind it, but so I did the season, then we had a bit of time off, and then Laura and I met at a charity event that I was... It was a boxing event. I was boxing in the Raffles Rumble, it was called.
Did you win?
I was a draw in the end.
Oh.
It was a draw, but a proper draw.
No wonder she fell for you.
And she was the ring lady.
Was she?
She was. She was the ring lady, so I chatted her up in the ring and it worked. But it kind of just, we had some time off and we got together, and then when it all came out and we met back with the producers, it just wasn't a story that they could cover. So that's kind of how it finished.
And so the producers just said, we don't want her in the show, and we want you single, basically.
I came on as a single lad, and I wasn't anymore.
That's a bit harsh. So it is really controlled then, is it? Are they quite controlling on what you can and can't do, who you can and can't see? Clearly,
you
fell in love, and they weren't happy with it.
You know, it's something I've made peace with it. I'm happy where I am now, and, I understand their reasons for it.
Do you?
I'm
always told these shows, TOWIE, Made in Chelsea, the Housewives of, Cheshire, that it's real life and that it's not staged or scripted.
They always
say that when they come on. And Eamon Holmes interviewed some of the stars from the Housewives of Cheshire, and they were like, no, it's not scripted. And now, look, there's lovely you find real love, and you've actually got to choose either TV show or my girlfriend.
Easy choice for me.
Well, wow. I absolutely commend you for that decision.
Thank you.
Because it's a real one. You made a real decision, a life decision, as opposed to obviously, what made in Chelsea. I've never watched the programme, so forgive me. How long were you on it for?
I was there for season 17, so filming for about 6-7 months.
And how does it, I mean, how do you get onto a show like that? I'm really intrigued.
It's a very small part of the world, so it's, the friendship groups overlap, and you kind of, throughout my life, grow up in London, you kind of meet everyone.
So you have to be made in Chelsea, but you were made in South Africa.
I was made in South Africa, so.
So how do you get on to made in Chelsea?
It's kind of like a friends of a friends and a who's dating who, that kind of thing. I mean,
and single?
And single, yeah. For me, it was kind of, they wanted me to, as a love interest.
Right.
Came on to date some people.
And were they, did they encourage you to do that, to like date people on the show?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they wanted to keep it in Chelsea, and obviously Laura isn't from Chelsea.
She's from the ocean, no.
Yeah, she's from an island of love.
Of love.
Love Island, and it just didn't work for them.
Just didn't work, no.
Well, I think you've made the right choice.
And I think so, yeah. And it's nice, you know, I can focus on my other projects, passion projects, things like that going forward.
Don't get me wrong,
I had an absolutely amazing time with them. But so for me, obviously my South African background and the conservation background, I'd like to, I use the word very, his name with respect. I'd love to be the new kind of David Attenborough. That's the...
Wow.
I've got a huge love for conservation, nature, the environment, sustainability, that kind of thing. So for me, I'd love to...
Well, he is getting on a bit.
He is getting
on
a bit.
You know, so somebody's going to have to take over that
as well.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
Like a fine wine.
But unfortunately, we are going to have to.
Terrifying.
Who's going to take over?
It's a terrifying thought, one I just don't want to think about.
Tristan, I mean, you're the man.
There we go.
You're the man.
That's the goal. That's the dream. And, you know, you with Bear Grylls.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big inspiration for me as well. That kind of thing.
I'd love to. Well, I've just come back from Costa Rica trekking around. You should go there if you're into conservation.
I have been to Costa Rica.
Oh, there you go.
Beautiful, yeah.
Isn't it?
Sloths.
Oh,
everywhere. Birds. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, my God, this guy is so wonderful. And he said, can I just tell you, because so many I meet would, this is what they would have done, kept it quiet about the golf, because okay, I'm going to put you in the background. We won't be out. We'll do it sneakily. I'll pretend I'm single just for the show and get the limelight and the fame. You know what? How honest and refreshing.
It's just, sometimes
honestly,
you've got to be up front.
I'm so proud of you. I sound like your mum. But I think that is so fantastic. And look at all the wonderful things that you could now do. Yeah. You're David Attenborough, I think so, don't you?
That's a big statement. Well, I'm not one I take lightly, but that is the shoes I would love to fill one day.
Well,
that
that's,
kind of thing.
I mean, what a lovely goal to have. Mm. And, you know, and I think it's so important that we promote conservation, particularly with younger people.
Yeah.
And, you know, not knocking David, because I think what he has done, nobody else could have done, you know, worldwide. But we need younger people
that into the forefront of, you know, he's brought a way of us to fall in love with nature. And particularly this day and age, you know, climate change, all the issues we face today, it's got to a point where we need young people and need everyone to get involved. And if I can just spread a bit of awareness, spread a bit of passion for what I love.
So what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Day-to-day basis.
About conservation your world.
My world, yeah. So I'm doing a lot of charity stuff. I'm an ambassador for Elephant Family.
Oh,
good. Amazing charity that supports Asian elephants.
Yep.
I actually got an event with them tomorrow, which will be quite exciting.
Where's that?
In Bicester Village.
Excellent.
So they're opening a new shop there, and they've brought these amazing statues over from India, and Ruth, the head of the charity, will be there, and it was the amazing people. They do really amazing work. So for me, it's just getting involved as much as possible in that kind of
you want to be on that side of things.
That's what I want to do.
You're going to forget the reality. I've got to bring this up because I'm getting tweets about it. We had Jack Fowler, who was who was co-hosting with me last week.
Okay.
And that's Laura's ex. How did you get on with Jack?
I've never met Jack. No, I've only heard good things, to be fair. But you know, from what I've spoken to Laura, they didn't work out, and they're friends, and that's, I'm cool with that.
Do you and Laura live together now?
No,
still very new.
We've been together 6 months.
Okay.
Getting
quite
on.
That's quite good.
I'm happy with that.
But it's still
six
new.
6 months next week, actually.
It's still new.
Who's counting?
6 months next week. You are so cute. But, I mean, Jack was my partner last week, but I have to say, Tristan, he's
no
mighty
favorites.
He's mighty fine. I love him.
And he's into conservation,
yeah,
so he's won
great.
My heart there, straight away.
And so that's the sort of TV side you'd like to do?
Yeah, I'd love to. Nature documentaries, that kind of thing. Just, you know, for me, it's if you have a passion, you know, if it can be work as well, then that's the goal in life, really. Incorporate both.
And how do you find with what Laura does? Because she's very much in the public eye.
She is,
well.
Yeah. What's great about Laura is that we've got very similar outlooks on life. You know, she's very into... Before Love Island, she's a professional surfer. She's very heavily involved with conservation, ocean plastic, that kind of thing. So it's a perfect match in terms of what we want to do and where we see our future, kind of.
I can see a couple here travelling the world, talking about
concerts. I feel
concerts.
Like I should
get a hat.
We're
off to Bali next week, and then...
Are you? So are you filming that? Is that being filmed?
I will be, yeah. I'll be. For my YouTube, I'll be filming
some
stuff.
So you're
going to
do it through YouTube?
Yes, I will.
That's a great way.
Yeah.
Great just way. Take control.
Exactly.
And, it's, you know, and it's she is thing. A lovely girl because she's been on the show a few times. And she was quite poorly, wasn't she? She was quite
she
ill.
She was, yeah. Sepsis was, that was a tough time. That was just before I met her. So I didn't go through that ordeal with her, but she's bounced back.
She's
strong.
Yes. No, she's fine. She's an amazing girl. So really? Sporty and fit. Mm. She's so, she was in the video, wasn't she? For, was it Max's video? Pop video. I remember seeing her.
Barcelona.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually saw that recently.
Yeah, I flashed up and I thought, oh my gosh, she looks incredible.
Yeah.
But you make a lovely couple and I really wish you well. And well done.
Thanks.
For doing what you've done. No, Made in Chelsea. That's not on, is it?
No. Yeah. Well, I know it's not on because I mean, what did you miss out on any opportunities or anything while you were waiting? How long do they renew contracts?
So, I haven't spoken to them for about I haven't been filming for about 5 months. So since the beginning of the season, I've been getting with all sorts of other things, you know, in my time. But it's kind of like an open ended thing. So you know, one day it might work out, but at the moment it's not. It's
provided
not.
You're single again.
Yeah.
Right.
And are you still friends with the others, you know, are in the show, and Sam Thompson and
Sophie.
Sophie, yeah. Lovely. Miles and James, put my two boys on the show.
Are they?
Still see them a lot. I was going to move in with James.
Oh, were you?
I was, yeah. What not anymore.
Oh, well, clearly,
not
yeah.
anymore.
Fell in love.
Fell in love.
Fell
but
in love.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I had a great time with him and met some really cool people and, you know, it was great fun for its time, but
you don't actually live in Chelsea. I know that's
Fulham on the border.
Oh, you're on the border.
Over near my way.
I'm near
my way.
A bus away.
Yeah,
okay, but you know, there's quite a few because I've quit the show as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
Sam's not filming this year.
Sam's not filming.
Same thing.
Louise
did
Thompson's
he fall in
not
love?
Feeling.
I just, you know, Sam was on it forever. He's been involved. I think it was a natural progression for him. Just. Maybe just
and is
enough.
It like a 9-to-5 job where you have to?
It's more than a 9-to-5.
Is it? Well, so you've always got cameras on you.
There's a
constantly.
Lot of admin in terms of keeping up to date with the kind of the gossip and what's what, and it's a lot.
Right,
it's a lot.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah, so it's kind of.
I wonder
all
if they made
if
in
like.
Chelsea yeah, can imagine. Survive without these big stars because you all have been such big stars and well-known.
There's
figures.
A lot of new faces on this season, particularly as well. So, you know.
I think with these things, dare I say it, it's so disposable, it seems. Like there's always a new generation of people that can just come through and, you know, you can't keep up with it, really.
Yeah, that's, you know, you've had the core guys who are on there for ages, and you've had the Jamies and the Alexes and the Sams, and those guys kind of hold the show together, and it's getting that next generation right, I guess. And that's where, for me, it wasn't going to be an ongoing thing. Couldn't commit to that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I wish you so much success.
Thank
You're
you.
Such a lovely
Thank you
guy.
Much.
And I wish you and Laura, I mean, we're coming to the wedding, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. You
know? Shall I buy a hat?
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
It's going to be on the beach somewhere, so.
Oh,
bring
it's
that Hawaiian
be on the
shirt. If you've got another one, I'd love to borrow it.
I've got loads.
Yeah,
trust me.
Yeah. I love a Hawaiian shirt. One of my favourite.
Going to be on the beach. Perfect place for you and Laura to get married. Oh, wow. I think I could be bridesmaid.
This is very preemptive. Let's just...
Yeah, I feel this
we'll
is happening.
See how 6 months
yeah,
goes
6 months. Come on, ease up on him. Ease up on him.
They seem very well suited. And I wish you loads of luck and love. And thanks for coming
to
Foodborne.
Thank you
guys
for having
me. And come back in.
I'd love to.
And I can't wait to see your first documentary on conservation.
I can't wait to show you it.
Do it.
100%.
I'm going to hold you to it.
I'll send you the first cut.
Thank
Woo.
You.
Done.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tristan.
Thank you for having me. We'll be right back.
Today I am joined by probably one of the most incredible guests we've ever been blessed with on this show. Opposite me is the unbelievably incredible Rose McGowan.
Thank you, Callum. What a lovely introduction.
It's one you deserve.
Women are so instrumental in gay rights, in its history, as it should be.
Yeah.
You know, straight or gay, and certainly trans women who kicked off Stonewall and that whole thing and fought so hard for rights and are still fighting so hard for rights. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the white male power structure is what it is.
It is what it is, and it's there, and it's a thing, and we have to acknowledge
we
it
have
and,
to acknowledge
and fight it.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggin.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio. Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Oh my word, what a wonderful man that was. Tristan, I love him.
Yep, me
and we're
too.
Going to his wedding. we've got our next guest from Shipwrecked. It's the one and only Stacey Freeman. Hello, Stacey.
Hello, how are we all?
We're good.
We're great, Stacey.
Where are you, Stacey, as we speak?
Oh, I am currently. Do you know what? I don't even know there was a problem on the Victoria Line, so I've snuck into some coffee shop that sells wine, and I'm sat here without either, by the way. But yeah, I'm just chilling somewhere quiet.
Oh, well, Dan, you were the star of Shipwrecked, East Force Shipwrecked. How did you get into this show? Because you were previously a model, weren't you?
Yeah, so previously a model, still am, but basically I was due to go on a different show. And when it didn't work out, I was in talks with an agency that approached me and put me in for something else, which happened to be Shipwrecked. And there I was, feet in the sand, getting soft.
What? Yeah, because your body is your temple if you're a model.
But they say that, but yeah, you have your ups and downs.
Yeah, you were into your fitness gym, your football.
Yep, still going to the gym, trying to get that summer body. Got some holidays planned, but then when the sun's out, you find a beer in your hand. You never know what quite happens after that. You wake up with a dry mouth on a Sunday.
That's right. Ooh, I know.
Yes, that's never nice.
We've all been there.
We've all been there, Stacey. So tell me, what was it like doing Shipwrecked?
The experience was phenomenal, next to none, which is why I obviously wanted to do it.
Yeah,
it's an experience that money can't buy. We met some good people, and I lived on an island for 4.5 weeks. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
Well, there's lots of people, mate. Absolutely lots of people. I know lots of people that would absolutely hate to do something like that. Me, personally, I loved it. I took part in Discovery's Alone in the Wild, and they also deployed me onto a deserted island 4 hours off the coast of Belize. And I had to film everything on my own. I was there with nothing and no one, so I know kind of what you went through. You were with a group, though, is that right?
Yeah, so I was with a group. I actually arrived with four other people. We were called the Final Five. which made the transition to the islands a little bit more fun and exciting. Couldn't imagine what it was like when someone turned up on their own and staring like 20 odd people down in the eyes. But it was good fun. Turned up with four other people. It was great. Definitely something that I'd tell everybody to apply to and do.
Did it challenge you though, in like physically and mentally, and in what ways?
You're dealing with people's emotions and all different sorts of people, so it's completely different. Each day is different.
What was the hardest thing to overcome for you on that experience?
The hardest thing to overcome was probably in my head and heart committing to one island, but still being shipped over to the other island and having to mingle with them, and then not knowing that I didn't want to be there. So you just kind of have to put on a brave face.
Yeah, I mean, because you've been quite open, Stacey, talking about what, you know, stigmas and what really defines a man. And because is it men not being themselves or showing emotions and, you know, not opening up?
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive thing for me. I'll be honest, it could be hot kettle here, but when I was younger, I really did struggle showing my emotions. I was a brick wall. I was cold-hearted. And recently, over the last couple of years, I've just learned how to accept that not only who I am, but that it's fine. I mean, it's 2019. Be yourself, be comfortable, and have some self-love. And that was it when I went on there. There was these big macho guys, and we all had something in common. We all had tattoos. Everybody, if you put it on a bit of paper, thought I was going to pick one team, when in fact, they didn't make me feel as comfortable as what the other team did, and I come out of my shower with the others, so I picked them.
Oh, my word, yeah. And it is an issue, isn't it, Jason, with men particularly not opening up. I mean, you know, they won't even talk to the doctor when they've got a problem. They find it really difficult.
And that's because of the way we're raised. Mm. You know, it's instilled in us from a very young age. Mm. I remember, and, you know, I'm obviously a generation older, but I remember, you know, whenever I was young and if anything upset me and then I went to cry, I was told that boys don't cry and to stop crying.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It? It's crazy. Your dad's like, when you're younger, or your mum's like, no, be a big tough boy. Boys don't cry. Mm. Well, let's be honest. I mean, that's probably how it was back then. But I know for a fact, if I have a child anytime soon, which isn't going to happen because I'm single, but those words will not be leaving my mouth. If they want to cry, they can cry.
Because, you know, I remember being at school with one of the... A boy cried, I mean, which I just remember it, and them saying, you're crying like a girl. And I thought, do only girls cry? You know, why can't the boy cry? I just remember going through my head saying, why can't boys cry?
It's actually offensive. Mm. I think you're right, mate. I think it's really, we send so many wrong messages to very young minds, and especially young boys, where they don't get in touch with their emotions. And then, like you say, you become this fortress where you're almost impenetrable and you have no way of being able to express yourself. Is that how you found it?
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly how I found it. Coming from a sporting background, being in the change room, I mean, lads, all the talk, all the banter at professional football teams. If you're seen as a weak link, it's just banter that you get picked on, you get bullied, and that's not what I wanted. I wanted to enjoy, let's say, my football career when I was younger. And even at school changing rooms, you want to be the tough cookie, the cool kid.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that, now looking back at it, I don't think that's how it should be. If I could go back and be the guy that, let's say, cried in front of everybody, but learn how to have self-love early on in life, then 100% I'd do that. I mean, unfortunately for me, I'm not coming on here to slate my mum, but she had a big part to play in it.
And how is your relationship with her now?
It's grizzly paper thin. Almost trans. Yeah. So, and it, you know what? We do talk for maybe 3-4 times a year. I mean, when you're young, you see your mates that are mummy's boy. I always wanted to be a mummy's boy. But when I wake up in the middle of the night from having a nightmare, and she had locked me in the house and gone out of her friends.
Yeah.
When I was a youth, 5-6 years old, I mean, that's not good. So I found it very hard to open up and trust not only females around me, but loved females as well. It's been a big struggle, but when you it's something that you've got to grow into, and you've got to learn to say that not everybody is like that, and that's why I found it so hard to trust females.
Gosh, I take my hat off to you. To be able to talk to us live on radio about this is something else. That is something. I mean,
it's actually choked me up a bit because, you know, I understand, you know, exactly. You know, our role models are our parents or parent. And and if, you know, you're dealt a difficult hand, as a lot of us are, and you certainly were, it's amazing. And you should really be proud of yourself, because not only have you gone on, despite all of that, your childhood, but you have gone on to become what sounds like a really well-adjusted, brilliant young man with a bright future ahead of you. And you've realised this. How old are you, Stacey?
I turned 26 last week, so yeah, kick it on a little bit now.
No, you're not. Let me tell you, you are really ahead of the game to realise what is important, and that self-love is the thing, and to be able to express yourself now and not think that you're less of a man because of you being able to be vulnerable. You are going to go very far in life,
and
mate.
That's really helping others that are listening, that are going through what you've been through.
And
as
you'll
well,
be a great dad. Yeah. More importantly,
yeah, that's the thing. I am excited.
You're
going to
be a great
dad,
mate, because you will not carry on the sins of the past.
Oh, good for you, Stacey. That is something really fantastic. And I'm, you know, it breaks my heart when I hear your story. And I've heard so many like it. I really do. And I'm a mum of two boys, and you know, I'm happy when they cry because I've get it out, talk to me.
And the more young men that we have like Stacey, who, you know, clearly come from a sports background, you know, they fit the stereotypical male, and to be that sort of inspiration for younger guys and saying to them, do you know what? Real men do cry, and real men have emotions and can express them without having to get angry or violent, is phenomenal, especially when, you know, one of the biggest killers for men under 25 is suicide.
Yeah,
it's massive as well. And I mean, I'll be honest, when I went on Shipwrecked, I was 4 or 5 days in. And I remember standing there with Jaden, and I just started crying when I had to send two people home. Purely not because of the fact that I was scared of doing it, but the fact that that person was having a good time there, the good experience.
And connected.
I connected with him, and I was just thinking to myself, okay, I'll cry in here for a good solid 15, 20 minutes. It's going to be on national TV. But when I come out of the show, I wasn't scared. I immediately told people, and they were like, are you not worried what people are going to think? And I was like, not at all. If that's how close-minded somebody is, I don't care. I had a good time. That was the best part of my experience, to be fair. Yeah. That taught me more than anything that has ever taught me before. Oh. I had Jaden next to me, 19-year-old lad. Didn't know him, but we connected. He cried because I was crying. I mean, that's how it should be. You should feel...
Empathy,
feel exactly.
Compassion and empathy are things that we really need to learn more of.
And having emotions. This is life, you know? And it's real. It really is real. And... Stacey, and I hope you can come in the studio soon. And I think this is really important to talk about. And, I know many of my male friends have had real problems who have been in the football world that couldn't come out. And some have been gay, bullied.
Yes.
And it's really tough. I think it's a really serious topic. And thank you for talking about it so openly and honestly, Stacey.
No,
really
honestly,
fantastic.
It's fine. If this conversation without one person, it's achieved. Job done.
And it will. And continue your great work, mate, with raising awareness. I think it's brilliant. I support you completely.
And can I just ask about Shipwreck? Was there anything they cut out of the show? Were you like, when you watched it back, did you go, oh, they cut that bit out that I wanted to stay in? Or were you quite happy with how it all happened and came across?
Do you know what? They actually cut so much out. Thanks to the channels, they made me look very well, very nice. And not I'm not a nice person, but they put every single best bit I had on there. I had one argument with Leah when I thought she... I was honest, I told her straight that she's making people feel uncomfortable. She cried and tried to swim off the island.
Oh. They didn't put it on there.
Yeah. That's a bit desperate, isn't it?
Sharon Davis.
She'd still be swimming right now.
Stacey, can I ask... What happens, a month on the island, young guy, what happens with sex or you know, certain urges, shall we say?
Oh, they are an all-time high.
Yeah.
fortunately for me, I was close to Emma, but I just like to obviously emphasise nothing happened on the show, and that's not just me saying that because I'm open and honest. But
what about off the show?
Off the show, yeah, me and Emma got on well, and we went for a drink and for a meal and stuff, and do what adults do.
good boy.
Good for you, Stacey.
Hang
on.
Nothing happened on the show, and whatever happens, people. I'm sure people don't kiss and tell. I can't tell you anything that happened with two other people. It's not my place.
No, absolutely
good for you,
not.
Stacey. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on the show and being so open and honest.
What a gent!
You are incredible, and well done, you. And come back soon.
Yeah, no. Whenever you have me, I'll come in.
Thank you, Stacey. What a lovely guy. You know what, Jason? That has really touched me because I can't tell you the amount of footballers and sports people I know that couldn't be themselves. It was macho sport.
And what about your young boy?
Yeah.
Now, he's into that. He's rugby, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's football.
He's football.
He's football.
So how is it for him?
He said, yeah, it's macho. You've got to put on a certain act. It's still the same. It hasn't changed.
Such a shame.
Can you name really one gay football player? There aren't many. There's possibly a couple I could mention. They really are. And you can't show emotions, but thankfully, my sons really do. And they're brought up to have real emotions. I mean, Mike James, we sat and cried watching a movie the other day. He was worse than me. And he's just... You know, he read me, it was my birthday, and he wrote me a poem. And I honestly just think...
But that's a testament to you as a mother,
well, I'm
then.
Very blessed. But this is a very important topic, as you know, Jason.
It is.
You know, and people that are bullied and you can't... Mm. You know, it's terrible.
But you know, there is a positive message that I'd like to get out there. If you are being bullied, if you are under distress and you don't know what to do, you know, it does get better. And I know it's hard when you're living it day to day, but it does get better. You know, I was severely bullied because I was different. And let me tell you something, different is exactly what you want to be because there's such little people in this world that are different, but you become somebody very interesting because you're different.
Exactly.
So celebrate your difference, stick it out, speak to people, don't suffer in silence. And everything will be okay.
Jason, such wise words. As always, my word. And I've got to ask you, because, God, this show's gone so quickly.
Yes.
I went another 3 hours easily.
Easy.
Jason, what's coming up for you? You've had an amazing campaign that I've kind of helped you a little bit with.
Thank you, Lizzie. Yes. I kicked off the Relaxed Performance campaign, which was basically making theatre accessible for everybody with hidden disabilities. You know, we have theatres that actually... It's not that they're discriminating, but it's impossible for people with sensory and learning difficulties and that are on the autism spectrum but have hidden disabilities that they cannot access theatre, and yet they get so much out of it, the kids and people that go to theatre that are on the autism spectrum. And I just didn't think that was right. So I launched a campaign after doing a relaxed performance at the Hawth in Panto in January, and it's changed my life, and we're really making a big difference. And you know, you can go, if you want to learn more about it, follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. It's at Relaxed Performance, and you can find out where there are relaxed performances in your area. And if you haven't got one, let us know about it, and we will do all we can to ensure that the theatres near where you are will put one on.
Yes, and we will, indeed.
We won't stop until it's
legislation. We're not going to stop, Jason. And TV-wise, theatre-wise, anything you could talk about, or is it all secret
squirrel? It's tough, isn't it, in our industry?
It
because
is.
I've got some really exciting things that I can't wait to talk about. But until I'm given the green light by, you know, certain powers above, I can't say anything. But
gosh.
You know, I'm always up to things.
You
always
are.
Up to things.
I kind of know, but I'm keeping very secret squirrel myself.
Yeah.
I'm so wonderful. Well, you're such a talent and you're a beautiful person inside and out. It's been a joy to work with you. Time has never gone so quick.
Gosh.
It's time to go, Jason.
It's not fair. Let's do another hour.
Can we do another hour? Oh, Jason, will you come back again?
Of course I will. I'd love to.
You were it's so good. Wonderful. And we've had wonderful guests. I mean...
Amazing.
Weren't they?
What an amazing couple of guests. Oh. Really inspirational young men. And it's nice to see that because young men get a bit of a bad rap, don't they?
They do. They do indeed. But, you know, we've got to go now, Jason. So thank you for being my co-host. I've loved every minute. Thank you to all the listeners. And I will see you next week.
1, 2, 3, go! You stumble through your days. Got your head hung low. Your sky's a shade of gray. Like a zombie in a maze. You're asleep inside, but you can't shake awake. Cause you're just a dead man walking. Thinking that's your only option. But you can flick the switch and brighten up your darkest day. Sun is up and the colors blinding. Leave behind your narrow mind. You'll never be the same. Come alive.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.